In order that we get to the heart of today's gospel message, it is absolutely necessary that we have some notion of this city of Jericho and its significance in the history of salvation. For after the city of God itself, that is Holy Mother Church, Jericho is perhaps the most important city in the world, Jerusalem being the city that signifies the city of God, Jericho the city that signifies the city of man. And in order for us to understand this, we will understand why the blind man this day was truly blessed, because he was truly blind and there was nothing he could do to deliver himself from his blindness. He received an absolutely free, gratuitous gift of Almighty God, for which he did nothing to merit it. And in order for us to understand this, we will understand that in today's gospel, we have an extraordinary text that includes, in a most intimate way, the Mother of God herself. But first, let us begin by understanding Jericho's literal meaning means moon or anathema, and thus it signifies the very reason for the Lord's passion, that is, the failing of his flesh, not by way of the blindness of sin, but the failing by way of an act of his will, in which he will deliver it up for us in sacrifice in order to establish the heavenly Jerusalem. But to understand Jericho, we can understand it by having some knowledge of its deities. The primary deity of the Canaanite people was a deity, El Elyon, known in the Greek tradition as Cronus. He was noted for mutilating his father, and he was particularly noted for the swallowing and the killing of his own children. Astarte was an androgynous divinity associated with the cult to Venus, and hence a glorification of the sin of Sodom. Dagon was the god of crop fertility, in whose temple Samson would destroy. Lotan was the serpent ally of evil. Moloch, the god of fire, whose fire would consume the very infants of the Canaanite people. Mat was the god of death. Yarek was the god of the moon, the husband of Nikal, the goddess of fertility, whom the Canaanites considered a great woman. Yarek, or Yariko, which we call Jericho, was the primary deity of this city, and hence he symbolized the institution of the vice of love, of lust, and the destruction it brings into the human family. Jericho is known as the oldest inhabited city in the world. There is no other city that has had unbroken habitation save for this city of Jericho, and so it seems to be signified it is the primary location of fallen man. And indeed, when we understand this, we understand the significance of the Good Samaritan. There was a man on his way from Jerusalem into Jericho, that is, descending from his creation in love by God the Father into the abyss of hell signified by Jericho. For among its geographical realities, Jericho is the lowest point below sea level on this earth, and so it signifies very clearly the descent of man from his creation in the love of God to Satan trying to capture him by his hatred. And it is important for us in this day and age to truly understand that, because when we live in fear, and indeed when the citadel of God is being assailed as it is today, we have a certain fear. But that fear can translate itself very easily into the hatred of our enemies. But if we understand the mystery revealed to us today, we understand how the city of Jericho is to be overcome. For we are very clearly told by today's gospel not to return, as Bartimaeus did not. He received his blessing, and then it tells us He followed him on the way. That is, he rose in his sin to follow the Lord to his passion at Jerusalem, and hence Bartimaeus showed himself truly becoming a child of God. When the Lord first came into this city, the other Gospels tells us, he cured one man of his blindness to signify that previous to the passion of Jesus Christ, he would seek the conversion of one people, the chosen people. But Bartimaeus' healing comes after our Lord enters into Jericho. And that healing, we are told by Matthew, included two blind men, of which Bartimaeus was the most significant, in order to signify that after the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, through the apostolic church, he will seek the conversion of both peoples until the end of time, Jew and Gentile alike. And so, Scripture tells us what to be on guard, because Scripture and Scripture alone paints the true story of this city of Jericho. It tells us that Jericho was a well-fortified city, in order that we understand what St. Peter told us when he said, "Be careful, for your opponent the devil is very vigilant, always seeking those whom he would devour." And so, the citadel of Satan is well fortified, and it wishes, as it were, to lure us inside its walls and there entrap us in the vices that were predominant in this city of Jericho, vices that bring a blindness unto man, both of body and soul, a complete, total blindness that it is impossible for man to deliver himself. For it destroys, St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, the very substance of a man, consuming both the flesh and the soul in the vile practices of the city of Jericho. And the city of Jericho is legion today, for it seems to be everywhere. Secondly, Scripture tells us that the attack occurred just after the spring harvest, a time of complete debauched revelry for the Canaanite people, that is, when their God was most down, enjoying themselves the most, God would destroy these people. But we must understand the analogy of the destruction of a people in the old time, not to translate it into this destruction of human souls. There was a significance that was here connotated, and primarily it is a significance by which we will see God does not seek the destruction of souls, but rather their conversion. He will destroy everything of Satan's kingdom, its signs and its symbols, but he will not destroy those who are in it in this life, for he seeks their conversion. Scripture tells us that the inhabitants had no time to flee with their foodstuffs, and so we are reminded, if we have been delivered from the city of Jericho, we are to do what the Lord commanded, what he commanded Lot to do in Sodom. Do not look back. Do not return to the decadence of Sodom and Gomorrah, to the decadence of Egypt, to the decadence of Jericho, which symbolizes all of them, because it is the city that first had to fall in order for the chosen people to enter into the promised land. And so we see also, as Scripture tells us, that the siege was short, and yet the chosen people laid siege to this city of sin. And it is in the siege of this city, that we will see the significance of the very mother, her God, of God herself, in the destruction of Satan's kingdom and the salvation of the souls who dwell therein. Next, Scripture tells us that its walls were leveled, completely leveled, for she truly will destroy entirely the kingdom of Satan and all that it manifests to us, all of its signs, all of its symbols. The city was not plundered. God did not tell the chosen people to take the things of that city with them. He told them to leave them behind, and indeed commanded them under pain of death themselves not to touch the animals, the sitars, the musical instruments, or anything that was in that city by way of material creation. That is, the material things that we seek to entertain ourselves with. They were to leave him all alone because they had all become polluted. The animals were sacrificed to these false deities of decadence, and so the chosen people were to have nothing to do with them. They were to go in and, as it were, drive the citizens out of Jericho so that they would be driven to the city of God. And finally, after the siege of the chosen people and the destruction of the city of Jericho, it was burned totally to the ground to symbolize that abode which all will dwell in if they do not respond to the age of mercy. And so we come to learn of the significance of the Mother of God in learning how God brought down the walls of Jericho, that fortified city, that city that we, once entrapped in, are unable to escape. And indeed, have we not been told that by the savants of today's empire of Satan, by the prophets of Baal himself? Have we not been told through the cultural expressions of our time that you can, once you enter, you can check out, but you can never leave? And that is explicit reference to the kingdom of Satan. And once those enter into it, you can check out, but you can never leave, because he will hound you and seek you and consume you. That is precisely why we are told, when they called up the captain to give them the wine, the response was, "We haven't had that spirit here since 1969. That is, it was formerly a hotel in which a Catholic chapel was present, and it was purchased in the year 1969 by disciples of Anton LaVey, and that spirit of God no longer dwelt in that hotel, that city of man. The captain is Christ, and he was driven out." And so we must be on guard that there is a culture, a city, contrary to the city of God, and we are to have nothing to do with it, for that city in the end will be consumed in the eternal fires of hell. And so, how does God bring down these impenetrable walls? He brings them down through one whom he has entrusted the entire order of mercy and the destruction of the kingdom of Satan in the minds and hearts of men. The chosen people had to first encircle the city with the Ark of the Covenant, that is, with the love of the Mother of God. And once that city was laid siege by the Mother of God, its fall was inevitable. What was capitulated in Adam would be recapitulated in Christ and Mary, and the city of God would rise up in the city of man, always the beacon of light and holiness. And after the city was encircled by the love of the Mother of God, the chosen people were told to blow the horns 7 times in order to indicate to us that the destruction of Satan's kingdom, both in ourselves as individuals and in humanity as a whole, is accomplished through a means that we cannot acquire save by the grace of God, because it is accomplished through the sacramental life of the Church, the 7 instruments of our salvation. That is why the horn was blown 7 times, to indicate that Satan's kingdom is crushed by spiritual means, in which the kingdom and its expressions are destroyed with the minions of legions of Satan's angels and those who have willingly and stubbornly aligned themselves to him. They are destroyed by the sacramental life in the Church. And hence we understand that the missionary activity of the Church does not require any of us to go necessarily to missionary lands, but we are required to be willing to go when the Lord calls. But primarily, the salvation of the world can be accomplished by every member of the mystical body understanding the significance of Christ. For the final act that Jesus Christ would perform on the cross of Calvary was to become a blind man. For the final thing he would do after all the torments and all the tortures would to be close his eyes on everything he loved as a man, and most especially to no longer behold that woman from whom he took his flesh, the sacrifice for our sins. So he not only sacrifices himself, but he even at that moment sacrifices that woman, that creature so dear to him, because in her is the summation of all that is pure, all that is beautiful in the created order. And he does it for our sake when we are all dwellers of the city of Jericho. He sacrifices everything as man that is dear to him in order that we too may sacrifice everything of the kingdom of Satan to acquire that which is dear to him, his mother. And so let us truly rejoice this day, for St. Mark in this passage has given us a complete synopsis of the history of salvation in the centrality of the Mother of God. And let us go forward, truly trusting in divine providence, not constantly involving ourselves in the modern era of kind of digging constantly by way of introspection. It is enough that we try with every fiber of our beings to avoid all deliberate sin. After that, we leave our faults and failings to the Lord in his good time. He allows them to remain in each and every one of us so that we truly can, in charity, bear with one another through the faults and failings, and then in charity correct when we see our dearly beloved falling back towards the city of Jericho, so that they, like Bartimaeus, are cured of their blindness and march with the Lord towards Jerusalem, towards Calvary, and ultimately towards that kingdom which God wishes us to acquire, that kingdom that is truly unsaleable, that kingdom that walls cannot be scaled by any of the demons, because it is the heavenly Jerusalem, and between it and the kingdom of Satan in the end, we know, is an eternal abyss that even Abraham cannot pass. For once God comes to judge the living and the dead, there is no longer a possibility for the inhabitants of Jericho to enter into Jerusalem. And so let us make good with the time we have, and let us do it always in a spirit of reparation, sacrificing everything to him, our joys, our sorrows, everything, by way of prayer, by which everything we do, our joys are his joys, they are her joys, our sorrows are their sorrows, her sorrows. Everything redoubts back to the one from whom we received it. Of ourselves, we can do no good. We are inhabitants of the city of Jericho. And it is only because a good king came who was not afraid of the enemy of souls, and he marched in stoutly like a good Christian man should when he sees his children being sacrificed to the altars of Moloch, and he had nothing to do by way of compromise with that culture. He did not try to justify cooperating with its schools of decadence. He marched in and he took those inhabitants from that city who were willing to, in their blindness, make at least one act of humility. Son of David, I can't even see you, but I beg you, have mercy on me. And that day he would receive that mercy by a free act of God's love, which he gives to everyone who humbly asks him of it, and then bequeaths to them that which is most precious to him, which he gave up on Calvary for the brief moment, so that all of us may come to know her and to come to love her, our life, our sweetness, and our hope, who alone is the strong citadel of God, the valiant woman whom Satan cannot even assail in this life. He coils himself around this earth and tries to squeeze the life blood out of it. But we know that she is always and everywhere crushing the head of that infernal serpent, that intellect so far superior to ours, but yet nothing in comparison to the Mother of God, whom alone has been entrusted with the crushing of its head through the instruments she has chosen to use by asking her Son for the Church and the seven sacraments that bring about the final destruction of Satan and the conversion of us sinners.
Oh, Jesus.